Seventh, try to reflect back to them what they've said.
By this, we mean saying back what we think they're telling us, using some of their own phrases. Now, we don't mean repeating back parrot fashion. That would be really annoying for any teenager. Reflecting back what they've said, particularly feelings that they may be struggling to express, is very powerful in showing them we're listening and we're with them.
A father we know described a conversation with his teenage daughter. She came home from school one day and plonked herself down next to him on the sofa and said, "I passed both of my maths exams." She wasn't smiling about it, so he thought he'd do a quick reflection. "So, you're pleased with your results?" "No," she replied, "I wanted to get an A in both papers." To which he said, trying to reflect back to her, "You sound disappointed with your results." "Yes, everyone in my class got two A's and I didn't." So, to see if he was understanding fully, her father asked, "So you're disappointed you didn't do as well as the other people in your class?" "Yes," she replied. "Everyone expected me to get two A's and they were all talking about their results at lunchtime." "So you felt embarrassed talking about your results in front of your friends?" He kept reflecting back everything she said, just trying to understand her. Then she stood up, gave him a kiss and said, "It was so helpful talking to you. I feel so much better." The father concluded, "All I'd done was simply reflect back to her what she had said."
It's very important to listen to your child, and that's more than just hearing what they say. It's actually saying, what is behind what they're saying to me? What is the emotion that goes with this? What are the signs that this child is asking me for something without putting it into words? And that's a kind of a different kind of listening to the, "Oh, yeah, 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 I heard you." And it implies that there's something your child wants to communicate that you actually have to pay attention to pick it up.
The eighth ingredient for communicating effectively is to respond appropriately. The teenage years are a turbulent time. They're working through a lot of issues and often need our guidance and reassurance. When we respond lovingly and appropriately, they won't feel lectured at. They'll feel we're there for them and be open to our help.
My mum has some real words of wisdom that she gives when, quite a lot actually, when I'm really upset and I want to talk to my mum, she'll come out with some amazing things that I just remember and remember and remember, which helped me through school.
Yeah, it's same for me, because I feel like I can talk to about anything when she's listening and we're communicating with each other, and that's really good.
I used to sometimes have burning questions. As you know, as you hear something or want to see something, I love to talk, and I still do now. And I will go up to one of them or both of them and I will ask them a question, and I love to have that deep conversations. So I have many times when I was younger, some on marriage, all sorts. It's the deep burning conversation. When I was very younger, I used to come up and say, "I've heard this word today at school," and it'll be a swear word. You know, "What does it mean?" And they would honestly answer it, but it would always be later in the evening, you know, after the younger two had gone. So when I was younger, it was I wanted an adult conversation.
As we learn to communicate effectively with our teenager, it meets their need to feel understood and loved unconditionally.
Finally, take a long-term view. If our teenager doesn't want to talk and communication is a struggle, it's worth recognising that more often than not, it's a phase they're going through. So don't take it personally.
We can't force them to communicate, but we can try to create the conditions and an environment where some conversation is most likely to happen, such as at mealtimes, even though it may be very stilted for a while. Remember to keep using the love languages, especially quality time. Try to do things together. Often, it's when we're doing something enjoyable with them that they open up.
And try not to feel put out about them wanting to be with their friends. That is very normal for teenagers. And welcoming their friends into our home may well be one of the most challenging things for us as parents, but we want to encourage you. It can make a huge difference to building a relationship with them where they feel more relaxed and comfortable about communicating.
Sometimes, if communication is a struggle and we're worried, we'll need to get professional help, perhaps taking up the issue with their school and seeking medical support if we suspect they might be depressed or have an eating disorder.
I found these practical tools for communicating effectively really helpful through our children's teenage years. Hard though it was, The effect of dialing down, getting off my own agenda, and listening twice as much as talking was amazing for our communication. And my relationship with them was so much better for it.
When they listen, I feel important, of value to them and to myself. I feel comfortable.
I'm going to close the session with a short prayer, so please stay as you are. Lord, we thank you that you're always listening to us and that we can pour out our hearts to you. Thank you for all the ways you assure us of your love. We pray that you'd help us to love our children with our time, our words, our touch, with presence and with actions, and that you give us insight to know which is most significant for each child. And in those families where communication between a parent and a teenager has broken down, we pray for a breakthrough and for a new start. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our question for you today is actually an activity. We want you to role play with another adult. Have them share a typical teenage problem with you and reflect back what they said. Go back and forth for a few minutes, always repeating back what you've heard from them, and then switch. Have yourself share a problem with them, and then have them try to reflect back what they've heard, and then discuss what was easy or hard about that activity. Have a good time with whoever you partner with to do this, either your spouse or partner in parenting, or with somebody from a group who you've been exploring this course with. See you tomorrow.